It is the month of February, and we find ourselves in week two in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Thank you very much for having us this
month. It's always great to be here. Thanks for coming, Joe.
The Vigo County Commissioners contracting with the company to reassess proposal for a new county jail. So finally, that's back off the ground again and moving forward. Officials say they won't likely see any results until the summer, but are you at least happy that things are moving on this again?
Yeah, you know, it just got bogged down so many different times, really, for a variety of reasons. And this is kind of what the community pushback was. Show us a plan. Show us, you know, why you think it needs to be this size and what kind of services should be offered inside the jail. And so I think this will answer a lot of those questions. It'll give that public input opportunity, all the vested parties here. Hopefully what comes out of this then will be something we can all rally around and say, okay, we get it. We don't like having to raise taxes or spending this kind of money, but here's the facts to back this up. And so that's what I'm hopeful for.
Mm-hmm. Right before we left, or actually it was right after we left in our January meeting, there was a notice of final budget recommendations from the Indiana Department of Local Government that proposed another $2.5 million in reductions from the city's budget. The city had, I believe, until February 5th to respond. Was there a response given?
Absolutely, and we'll be just fine on our budget. What's interesting is the local print media kind of ran with that, like, you know, it's going to be another bad kind of a scenario, when it never was. And the problem is, when you submit a lot of this stuff to the state, some of the things we submitted was last August, so a lot of things have changed. When they give you that initial budget order, it's not the final order, it's the initial order, then you've got 10 days to update information, make some changes to what you're doing. And we did that. And so we're just waiting on that final thing to come to the county, you know, the budget order for the entire county, which includes our budgets. And I expect a really good response there. So I'm thinking we're not going to really have to cut anything. So at the end of the day, until we get it back, we don't know. But there's no reason to rush to judgment on these things, because that's just the first step in a process. We go through this every year. It's no different this year than it was last year, the year before. The only thing different about last year was it was such a big number. This one was a more manageable number, so we were able to deal with it internally. Much ado about nothing.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear you say we may not even have to do anything.
No, I think we'll probably have to do one little thing on the MVH budget, but I think on the general fund it'll be supported, it'll be approved at what we submitted.
So where does that money go? Is that just something that you're able to say, okay, $2.5 million, we can take a little?
We divvy up the levy a little bit differently. So we've got a lot of different funds to get property tax dollars. Well, when you submit this last August, we knew what we knew in August, but things changed by February, so we'll divide the pie up a little bit differently. Take some from here, put it there. Because we've balanced all those other budgets, we don't need as much property tax dollars in there. So all it is just updating the information with them, showing our year-end revenues, that we came in under budget, and then we made these changes, and we're good to go.
So as of January 1st, when you entered this new year, where was the city budget in terms of the deficit? Because a lot of that had to have been made up by the end of last year, correct?
Well, right. So what we had to do is make sure we addressed it last year. And so we basically cut it in half. I don't have the final figures in yet. We're still working on the December final numbers. But we basically cut it in half, maybe a little bit more than half.
Some city leaders hosted a forum just a couple weeks ago and found out some city residents wanted more transparency. They wanted a better working relationship with the mayor's office and city council. Is this something that, you would agree upon? I mean, is there a lack of communication?
We couldn't be more transparent. I don't really know what their need is. Don't know. They've never approached me. I was not invited to that meeting. So if you talk about transparency, that would have been good to be a part of that. Was not invited to that, didn't find out about it till the night it happened, when somebody called me and told me they were doing it. They invited some city council members, but not the administration. Sometimes I think people get confused about the roles of all the pieces here. I'm not on the city council. I'm not part of that. If there's issues with transparency with them, then you deal with them. If there's issues that you think there are with transparency with me, then you bring it to my attention. You don't have a meeting and don't invite the mayor and then say, you know, where's the mayor at? And so that's a little disappointing. I'm encouraged by people wanting to be involved with government. You know, I have a monthly event at the local pie company. I have other events throughout the community. I speak to lots of groups all the time. I have an open door policy in my office. If somebody wants to schedule a meeting, they can come in anytime they want. We post so much information on our website, more than any other previous administrations ever had. I mean, technology's obviously improved to allow us to do that. It's all out there. You just have to go look for it. And so I'm not sure what the issue really is. I don't know, because I've not been approached with anything.
Well, and you answered my second question, because there was another group at another meeting that wanted to meet with you but didn't know if you were reachable. And you just answered that you are.
Well,
I mean, you have an open door policy.
That is amazing for anybody to even make that kind of a statement. When I have an open door policy here, you pick up the phone, you call me, you know, send me an email, you'll get a response usually the same day, next day, worst case. And so that is absolutely absurd for somebody to say that I'm not reachable or they don't know how to get a hold of me. Everybody else in Terre Haute seems to be able to get a hold of me.
I also wanted to just get your comment on, you know, the Sony layoffs here in Terre Haute. Came after our visit again in January, about 375 workers there. Is the city working on any type of job placement programs or anything to try to help those people find some
Absolutely.
New work?
Absolutely. Work One folks are all over that. And so they're going to be kind of doing it in phases over the next few months. And so each of those groups will be addressed individually. And they are very good at doing these kinds of things. Yes, it's kind of some big numbers. They're not used to dealing with that size of a layoff, but they have geared up. They're working with Ivy Tech and other partners to provide them all kinds of plugging them in with opportunities here, plugging them into maybe to get a new certificate or some kind of a something you might need to look for another job career area. All those services are going to be available, and I feel really good about that. I know they're going to do a tremendous job.
Well, and when our newsroom worked on that story, we heard about three companies bringing about $90 million in investment with about 200 new jobs. So there's a lot of ebb and flow in the economy, isn't there?
There is. And you know, when Pfizer left, that was a pretty big hit for us because they were really, really good paying jobs. There was about 700 of them altogether. It took us a while to recover from that. The economy kind of went bad after that. This is a situation where we've got hundreds of job openings in our community right now that aren't being filled. And most of them pay in the same general pay rate, or for probably two-thirds of the people from Sony, so they could get equal pay going to a different, you know, company here. We want to obviously plug them in so we can fill those jobs with these other businesses and provide them with an income. But it is an ebb and flow. You know, there are going to be people who are growing and there's people who are downsizing. And so how you deal with that in the long run is the answer. Not just that short-term thing, because it's all about timing.
You know, I was asked to ask you about what you knew about, there's, I guess, a Texas-based Allura USA plant that reopened a pretty big facility. I guess it's fiber cement siding.
Yes.
So they, was that a previous area that has been redeveloped?
Well, it was CertainTeed plant. They closed up, kind of went out of business from that perspective. These Elementia, a company out of Mexico, bought it out and they've named it Allura, and they've hired about 70 people and they're up and operating again. So we've had several job announcements recently. That wasn't included in that because they just did that on their own, but we've got a few more job announcements coming here very soon too. So that was just an extra little positive thing that had happened just based on company coming in, investing in that plant and getting it open, operating with no local assistance really. You know, we really didn't even have an idea what level they were at.
It just kind of reminded me of our conversation a couple months ago about Macy's closing and how that the retail industry is changing, but the same happens all over.
You know, there's all different kind of sectors that are at different places in their life cycle. Maybe with a particular product, maybe they got a new product coming, maybe they don't.
And it's like Sony, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we always thought, what's Sony, what's next? You know, what do they have lined up? And we still don't know what that is. And so how that plays out, we don't know yet, but it's like anything else with Macy's, you know, closing up lots of stores all over. There's a shakeout in the retail industry. There's a shakeout in, you know, the manufacturing industry all the time. And so you win some, you lose some, but the main thing is we want these people to be able to find other employment here. That's kind of the bottom line.
I see where Launch Terre Haute got some money to boost their operations from the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. Can you explain what Launch Terre Haute is and how residents can see that as a positive to their community?
Sure. you know, launch has taken off all across the state. Really, it's an opportunity for people to come in and talk to like-minded people, talk to some professionals about, I've got this idea. You know, you think this might be something? Can I turn this into a business? And, you know, a lot of times it just doesn't pan out, but a lot of times it does. But they need that support system. So they need a place to be able to go, sit down at a computer, be able to share ideas with people who are all around them that are struggling with the same kind of things of taking an idea and turning it into a product. And so it continues to grow. There's been a lot of local support, business support, investors beginning to take notice. It will help us grow businesses right here in our own community. And hopefully then when they take the big step and they want to buy a building or lease a building, they'll decide to do that here because the workforce is here, all the other components are here, but that business needs to be nurtured, it needs to be raised and turned into something to take the next step. And that's what this is all about, is that kind of the wraparound of a variety of services and anything that can help them be successful.
Mm-hmm. And we hear about all of these initiatives that cities are doing to boost the economy, but something, a common theme on this show is the quality of life though too. What is something that, I'm sure that's something on kind of another page that Terre Haute's always working on too, is how do you boost the quality of life for these residents?
Constantly. You know, it's all the way from, you know, crime issues to cleanliness to amenities, things that are here for people to use, whether it's trails or museums or a new convention center. All those things go to, do you want to be in Terre Haute? Is it a fun place to be? Are there things for me to do when I'm not working? Can I further my education? Can I travel to another city quickly? All those things are so important. So any mayor you talk to will tell you, I got to focus on quality of life kind of things because, you know, Indiana's a pretty good place to do business. How do we get them to come here is going to be what's in your city, you know, what's going on to make them feel like, you know what, that's where I want to be. And so everything we do, we try to revolve and think about, how do we improve the quality of life? Does this fit that? Is if we're going to invest in this, will this lead to making this a better place? And that's how we kind of rate and prioritize things.
You know, I bet you have to be pretty excited too that Amazon picked Indianapolis as one of the 20. I know it's still kind of a long shot, but you know, as a place to have their second headquarters, Terre Haute's not that far from Indy.
You know, and when you think about that, when you talk about New York and California, you know, people drive 2 hours to get to the city to go to work. We're an hour from Indianapolis, so no matter what might happen with that, and yeah, I would be just phenomenal if we could pull that off, but it would positively impact Terre Haute in so many ways, and so many other communities are within an hour of Indianapolis. We would all benefit from that, and so we got a great story to tell. It's just, you know, that is something else. That's a, that is not, you're not going to have very many of those in your lifetime, and so if we were able to be successful with that, I'm telling you, that would take us to a whole new level.
Second half of the General Assembly is underway, and you have some interest because there's a food and beverage tax still on the table.
Yes, it is. It passed through the Senate. It's over on the House side right now. We want to build this convention center, and so we need that funding to help make the financials work and help us to be able to operate the facility. Because the first few years, you know, it's going to take a few years to ramp it up, and so we need that income to be able to work us through that process. And so, yeah, I'm excited that we made it through the Senate. We appear to have support, pretty widespread support, but we're waiting on hopefully get a hearing in the House side right now and get to the finish line. So just waiting for some new updates on that as we speak.
Can you give us a little bit more details about that tax?
Yeah, it's 1%. And yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I've got a lot of pushback from people saying, I'm not going to be able to afford to go out to eat anymore. It's 1%. So if you go to McDonald's and you spend $5, you know, for lunch, you're going to pay a nickel. You know, you go Texas Roadhouse, always like to use that example. We have a lot of people that come in from out of town, go to Outback, Texas Roadhouse, Longhorn. You know, if you spend $50, let's say, for a steak and maybe something to drink, you know, you're going to pay 50 cents. And so most people are not even going to notice it. They'll drive to Indianapolis and go out to eat, and they're paying a lot over there when they do that. About any other big city you go to, you're paying that. And they don't bat an eye. But here, people are like, oh, you know, we're not going to be able to afford it. It's a very small amount, and it goes directly into projects that lead to that quality of life kind of thing. So the convention center is where we plan on going at this point, but we have other ideas down the road.
And is that just on prepared food?
Right. So if you go and get food that's ready,
it's not like a Kroger or a grocery store.
So when you go to restaurants primarily, or a grocery store that has a hot bar, those kind of places would be affected. But once again, it's 1% of your entire sale. So, you know, $5 is going to cost you a nickel.
So just to walk us through, once if that gets approved, mm-hmm. does that still need to be approved then by the local
Yes, by the county council. And so the county council would adopt it, and then it would begin to be collected, and every cent of that would go directly into the CIB, the Community Investment Board, who then would use it for a convention center project. And maybe something else, like I said, down the road, there may be other projects that we could do.
And they think that would be enough to help build a convention center?
Yeah, you know, we've got $25 million that we've already put on the table as a
you
city
still
county,
have that.
And we
that
have
didn't
that.
Go anywhere.
This would just help us to be able to kind of fill in, to provide that regular income to help operate the facility.
Finally, just heard on the news this morning, late last night, that longtime superintendent, I think since 1999,
yeah, long time.
Danny Tanous mm-hmm. says he's going to retire this summer. And big boots to fill, huh?
Yeah, you know, Danny's been in that position, like you said, for a very long time. The school corporation has done very well. We're really educating our students here, which is so important. You know, when you look at the data that comes out of how we fare to other, you know, school corporations, we do very, very well. So I'm very proud of that. Everything that we do here is tied to the education piece. So, you know, I applaud all the efforts of everybody involved in the school corporation. Danny's going to move on to whatever the next phase of his life is, but he's going to leave it in really good shape from that educational perspective. We couldn't be any more proud of what they've done, the teachers and administrators across the board. And just looking forward to working with the new superintendent, because, you know, it's really important that we all collaborate and work together to make this a better community. So, you know, I wish him well in his future endeavors, and, you know, we look forward to a new superintendent and moving on down the road in a positive way.